T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Dusty.
There's a force in the universe that makes things happen.
And Friends.
All you have to do is get in touch with them. Stop thinking. Let things happen. And be the ball.
This is a PGA Championship Week edition of Dusty and Friends.
Brought to you by Persimmon Country Club. Join Dirt and Sprague June 6th for a day on the course. Secure your tee time now at 1080thefan.com.
Dusty and Friends on 1080 The Fan.
Hour number 3, we're here with Dwight Janes, the Godfather. Dwight Janes, we were just talking about, you know, the world of journalism. We were talking about this off the air, is that, you know, the idea that you're in the pocket of somebody as a journalist. How real is that when you're talking, you're a Big J journalist guy who's made a career of it. Big J journalism, capital J's.
Never thought of it that way, but
this is,
we're lowercase J's here, right?
Yeah, no, we are in quote, they put quotation marks right, around
right,
ours.
Maybe.
We're the silent J in yogging.
That's right. We've got quotes around our form of journalism. But what is that relationship like when you have a source or somebody who talks to you and you know, they're not willing to, like you were saying about Neil in the last segment that, yeah, he did interviews with me. And to that I say, well, what are you supposed to tell him? No.
Yeah, exactly. No, people would find it hard to believe, but I actually liked Neil. He was a good guy to me, and that's what I judge by, you know, and I didn't see him mistreating people. Apparently he did. At least that's what the team says. I think that might have been a reason to get out of paying his full contract, but that's what they say. And so you go with that. But he treated me well. He restricted access, which I didn't like, but I still had access to him. And he was very prompt in replying to him. Now, I may have been the only journalist in town that he talked to on a regular basis. How smart would I be if I didn't cultivate that relationship?
Yeah.
I mean, he's the guy running the basketball side of the operation. And he taught me a lot, quite frankly. I learned a lot from him. And did he help me break a lot of big stories? No, he didn't. But that wasn't the point. And, you know, I've always tried to have a good relationship with the people running the team. It didn't always work that way. But I did, and I tried. And I think with most of them, they would tell you that I treated them fairly, and I didn't misquote them, and we got along fine. And I take pride in the fact that I've never been sued or never been accused of misquoting people. I was threatened to be sued once by none other than number 7 in the Pinstripes, Mickey Mantle, whose attorney sent me a letter threatening to sue me.
What did you do there?
Well, that was the famous Hall of Shamers night in Portland, where they had the old timers game.
Oh, yeah.
Mickey Mantle, Hank Aaron, Eddie Matthews, a bunch of guys were here, and some of them were drunk. And Mickey Mantle comported himself around town on the day of the old timers game. I mean, he was like drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning, doing morning television and saying some bad things and doing some bad things that I can't even repeat to you that he said on the air on television.
You're kidding.
No, it was bad. So a couple days later, I substantiated all this, including having one of the people involved tell me they would testify if they ever went to trial. I wrote about it. And his attorney, who was, I think, Roy True in Dallas, sent a letter to me and my newspapers threatening a lawsuit. And the commissioner's office called David Hirsch, who was the general manager at the time. And David said, tell them to be quiet, shut up, go away, because it's all true. And so that was the end of it.
Whoa.
Yeah. That was an interesting time. I was fairly young on that beat too, and it was like, oh, I don't know if I'm ready for this or not.
Did you ever have times where like it, and how would you react when, you know, somebody wanted to kill a story? They got wind that you were trying to write something, and was there anything that you ever did? Did you put the kibosh to and say no?
Most of the time, if you thought they were going to try and do that, you made sure they didn't know about it ahead of time. And there have been plenty of times of those, I'll tell you that. Carrie and I broke a big story many years ago when the referees were cashing in their first-class tickets.
That's right, yeah.
And going coach, and then they kept the money.
Yeah.
And the IRS went after them on that, and a couple of referees actually did time on that.
Yeah.
A couple were wearing ankle bracelets and
that's a big deal because
it was a nasty thing.
A lot of the officials were doing it too. I mean,
almost all of them.
Almost every single one. Yeah, because that's big money that you're getting. Think of all of those flights that those guys are taking across the country.
They're basically flying every day, right?
Almost every day. Yeah. And taking the downgrade from first class to coach.
It's like twice as much as coach.
You're putting that right back in your pocket because the league is like, we want our officials, you know, rested and, you know, they want that stretch your legs out time. And as that kind of travels around the circles, a lot of the refs are like, well, why isn't everybody doing this?
Yeah. And
the IRS did not like it.
We traveled a lot in those days and saw the referees on the same flights we were on. And they had enough pull with the airlines because of their mileage. They would go back to coach, but they would get a row all to themselves or two of them with a middle seat open. So it wasn't that bad of a trade. You know, I mean, you're not in first class, but you're back there with plenty of leg room and you got room to lay down, take a little nap if you want. In those days, too, the flights weren't all full like they are today because there were more flights.
Well, and you had more leg room.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what they were doing. They were cheating the league and they were cheating the IRS. And the IRS cares a lot more about it than the league does. And can do a lot worse things to you, too.
Yeah.
It was bad. But we broke that story. And at the time, we were very concerned about the NBA finding out we were going to write it and trying to pressure our newspaper. And so we made sure nobody knew until the day it came out. And I sat on several stories where every day you hope the competition didn't get the story because you're waiting for confirmation from somebody or you're just waiting for the right time to break it. And usually it worked out pretty well.
Man, that's got to be stressful times, though, and just making sure that – because there's a lot of power –
you don't want to ruin people's lives.
Right.
No, if you've got that wrong, that's a real problem, you know, But on the other hand, they're doing something illegal, and I pay my taxes. I expect them to pay theirs, you know.
Right.
So I didn't feel bad when we got it right. I think it was a good story, and it was merited.
How were those reactions from the officials afterwards? I mean, so not all of them went away from the NBA either. A lot of them.
Oh, a lot of them came back and refereed. Yeah,
I mean, a couple of them went to jail, but
there's one of them who still doesn't speak to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's. Did the other ones kind of they try to fight you in the bowels of Moda Center?
No. In fact, that was one of the great things. We used to get to sit courtside. You remember those days? We were right there in the front row, and we got to know the officials more than anybody because they would come over to the scores table, you know. And some of the great ones of all time, Earl Strom, who was a great NBA official. I became good friends with him, and when he was doing a game the Blazers were in, we would always meet afterwards and have something to eat or have a beer or whatever and talk about the game and talk about basketball. He was sensational. A lot of these guys, I still speak to some of the guys. Dick Bavetta became a friend, and oh, gosh, I don't know, so many guys. A lot of them probably wouldn't want me to say they were friends with me, but
should Portland hate Steve Javy as much as they do?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good. Some guys where you just feel like that's okay.
You didn't even think about it for half a second twice.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like Portland fans, like Steve Javy, and I know they want to say Scott Foster, but everybody in the league has a bone to pick with Scott
Everybody
Foster.
Everybody thinks Foster's out to get him.
Yeah. Javy was different. Javy was different with Portland. Like it seemed personal with Portland and him.
Well, see, he's the equivalent to the old days with Jake O'Donnell. I don't know if you remember. Jake O'Donnell didn't like Clyde Drexler and didn't like Buck Williams. And he stuck it to him every chance he could. Mm. I mean, he wanted to kick Clyde out of a game before it even started one time. And he finally came out in, I think, Referee Magazine and talked about how much he hated Clyde Drexler. And that was the end of his officiating career.
Well, yeah, you can't do that.
No.
You can't do that.
He was.
Wow.
And I saw a lot of things, and I actually thought more than one of them in certain times had a stake in the game. Whether not saying a bet, but just saying this is who they wanted to win.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't want this team to win, and they stuck it to them. And and you see other games like the Sacramento Laker playoff series. Yeah,
Tim Donaghy.
Yeah, and Pavetta was a part. That's the one where Donahue's book says Pavetta came into the locker room and said, "You guys know why I'm here." And
jeez.
That's the kind of stuff that makes you wonder, because you see games where it just doesn't look fair.
Right, right. Dwight James is with us. Let's talk a little baseball, because it's a sport near and dear to your heart.
Yes,
and I love it too. And we have the hops, we have the pickles. What do you think of Major League Baseball ever coming to Portland? Dwight James is with us. We continue. Get your questions in, 503-250-1080. This is Dusty and Friends on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This is a PGA Championship Week edition of Dusty and Friends.
Brought to you by Persimmon Country Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, Dwight James is our friend today, and days after, Dwight. And days after.
Now you
after.
Say that when I called you on it, but I'm a friend for the day.
For the
That's
day.
Why I'm going to take solace in that.
That's right. All right. We've talked a lot about the Blazers and your time there, but you're a baseball guy at heart. I mean, we started this interview, and you were talking about how you had, thoughts of grandeur of playing baseball for the Portland State Vikings and how that turned into you coaching baseball. You've always been a baseball guy, and it started with the Portland Beavers.
It did. It actually started sooner than that. I grew up in a baseball neighborhood. I was very fortunate, but there were three of us who went to school together, played baseball together all the way up, and even in college kind of were together. Mike Clopton, who became the second winningest baseball coach in the history of the state of Oregon, was National High School Baseball Coach of the Year a few years ago. And Tom Treblehorn, who managed the Cubs and the Milwaukee Brewers, we were all friends growing up. At the end of our American Legion seasons, every summer, we would get in somebody's car and drive down to California and watch big league games all the way down. And we just, wow. It was baseball for all of us. So I grew up with a game. I was fortunate enough to work for the Beavers for many years. I finally was director of group sales for them. Had a chance at one time, Dusty, to go to beautiful Visalia, California, to be the general manager of the Visalia Mets. But my dad said, if you don't stick around and get your college diploma, you won't be welcome in this house again. So I thought, well, I probably better stick around for the home cooking a little while longer.
Go Vikes!
So I didn't go to Visalia, but yeah, baseball was always something I wanted to do.
Now, this is, you know, the Portland Beavers in AAA baseball was awesome. And yeah. it sucked when they left, and then when they came back, it was great, and it sucked when they left again.
Yeah.
And the Hops put on a great game, and it's a great atmosphere out there.
They do a great job.
The Pickles go against the grain of what baseball is, and I love that too. And you get a little bit of everything when you have that summer wood bat league. But you ever think that Portland is going to be a big league baseball town? Where are we at in your mind with the Portland Diamond Project, being a guy who's so in tune with the game here in Portland?
Well, I still think that we will have Major League Baseball. I just hope I live to see it. It's going to take time. There's no question, because Major League Baseball moves so slowly. They move slowly in every facet of what they do. Yeah. Their game is even moving slowly now. They've got to pick things up. Seriously, it is. And they take forever to change. Everybody knows they need to speed the game up. Get the pitch clock in there. Yep. Let's do something. Get it done, for crying out loud. And I don't know. It's very frustrating. They should have expanded. They can all use the money that they get from expansion fees, and it's time to expand. It would work out so much better with two more teams. Either somebody's going to move here, or we're going to get an expansion team.
See,
because we have structure here that those other cities out there still don't have. We have Diamond Project tells me they have ownership. They've got an owner ready to go. They've got plans of where the ballpark's going to go. They know now. We don't know now where it's going to go, but yeah. I think they're pretty much decided on it. And it's just a shame it hasn't happened. Part of this is the city of Portland's really difficult to work with in terms of where you want to put anything now. So many restrictions, so many things hoops you have to jump through. But it's going to happen. I believe it'll happen.
See, this is what I don't understand about baseball. Why in the world, they say, we got to get the A's and the Rays stadiums figured out first.
Yeah. Well, then do that, right?
Do you? Then actually force the A's to do something.
Right.
Because all they do
is... We've been waiting for that for years, for them to get their stuff figured out.
They've been... All they do is just drag the city of Oakland along, and they make, you know, stupid renderings at places that for stadiums that they know they'll never be able to build.
That was the last one was a joke. They knew they couldn't do that.
They had Hobbit Hills in the renderings, Dwight. It was a joke when they made the renderings. It was like, what are you doing?
You don't want to watch baseball from a Hobbit Hill?
What are we doing here?
No, it's like a four-corner offense they're playing down there. They're stalling for some reason, thinking that at some point the city's going to give them a big pile of money, and they're not.
And that's why Major League Baseball... put your thumb on this thing and you tell the A's either you commit to Oakland or move to Vegas. Right. Yeah. And if that's what they want to do, and this is why they're dragging the city of Oakland around there. Meanwhile, they're in Las Vegas scouting locations to build their stadium already.
And that was just for show too. They're not going to move to Vegas. Vegas is just the easiest button to push for Oakland, because they've already lost the Raiders to Vegas.
Right.
Vegas, they don't have an ownership group. They're going to be oversaturated with sports. You got to build a dome down there because it's so freaking hot in the summer. you can't possibly play outside down there in the summer.
Wait, you mean a getaway day in 125 degree heat?
Yeah, the fans would be, you'd be carting them out on gurneys. But that was just all show to try to get Oakland to move. This is where Oakland belongs, right up here. Billy Beane, for heaven's sakes, one of the great general managers, he lives all winter in Bend, Oregon, for crying out loud. This is where this team belongs, right up here. And I just, it's got to happen. It's going to happen. I really believe that. But it's just so slow and so frustrating. And the Diamond Project has made a point of not being the publicity-seeking group that so many groups are. They're not out there every week telling you what they're going to do. They don't want to say anything until they're ready to say something good, which I admire them for that.
Yep.
My understanding is, you know, they've already got some big-time people involved in their ownership group. they have a whole list of people that want in, including some former Major League Baseball players who didn't play here, who aren't from here. They just want in. Yeah. And so I hear now that, by the way, Major League Pro Sports right now, there's a list a mile long of people who want in.
Yeah.
At $2 billion, $3 billion, they don't care. They want in. They want to own a team.
Yeah.
They want to hang out with the guys. They want to be, you know, it's all these guys, these young guys that have made money, whether it's tech or crypto or wherever they made their money, hedge funds, I don't know. They want to own a team. They don't give a damn if it's baseball, basketball, football, or team tennis or whatever. They want to be that guy.
Yeah.
They all want to be Mark Cuban, you know, and that's the thing right now. So the ownership piece of it is not a problem, apparently.
And it's a check that just keeps on cashing.
Oh, God.
I mean, every year an investment's going to pay off. You know, you can go. All right. We got Dwight James with us. He is here answering your questions next. And we've got a lot of them. Some really good ones that are coming in on the fan text line, 503-250-1080. That after Mike with SportsCenter.
This is a PGA Championship Week edition of Dusty and Friends.
Brought to you by Persimmon Country Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
Dwight James, kind enough to sit down with us for the last couple of hours, tell his story. It's a fascinating one. You mentioned the posting up that you did, and you were able to wrangle Charles Barkley. You were able to get one of the toughest interviews in Oregon, if not in sports, the Phil Knight posting up. That was one of my favorite ones where you guys kind of walked the grounds of Nike's world headquarters. That was really cool. And Phil is a fascinating person who just doesn't like to do the media hubbub.
Yeah, we did a walk and talk with him. I walked through and we had a guy in a golf cart in front of us with a camera. Supposedly he had turned that 60 Minutes wanted to do that interview and he turned him down. And like a month later, he's doing it with us.
You're kidding.
And we went to the same high school and he's older than I am by a few years, but we have common friends. And going back to when I was the sports columnist at the Oregonian, he would send me notes once in a while, and I would see him at games, and we've always gotten along well. And when I asked him to do that, I was frankly surprised he would do it. But he did, and it was a great interview. He did a great job, and that was one of the most fun ones we ever did. I'd love to do another one with him now just to see how he's fitting with retirement and what's going on with him. But that was great. The other one that was really fun that we did there, Roddy Piper.
Yes.
We did a two-parter with Roddy Piper. That was just mind-blowing.
And he and Phil Knight were both like growing up in Hillsboro, right?
Sure. It's your neighborhood guy, right?
It was you could see Roddy Piper like out in the wild.
Yeah, go to the grocery store.
In the two people that you would the two people that you would see are Roddy Piper and Phil Knight, and then if you were in the neighborhood I live in now, back in the day, I have a buddy who says he lived in Rock Creek and he would go out and he for hours would just play basketball in his driveway, hoping Jerome Kersey, who lived in the neighborhood, would drive by and play basketball with him. Right.
Yeah.
So there's like three guys and that was it, that you would just hope to get a glimpse of at any time. But that question came in. How did you become a wrestling fan? You know, you are a big wrestling fan. You watched WrestleMania with Michael Thompson and, how did that love for wrestling start with you?
Well, it started, quite frankly, because of my mother. She used to watch it on television.
And, really?
They used to have
Portland Wrestling.
Oh, Portland Wrestling. She would watch it all the time. She got a big kick out of it. And so we grew up watching it, my brother and I. Then I go to the Journal, and I'm answering telephones at the Journal. And Don Owen would call after the matches and give his results to us. You know, and he'd just rifle through them. Yeah, kid, I got a so-and-so. Buddy Rose pinned so-and-so, 2 out of 3 falls, whatever. And you know, he's always kind of sour and cranky and on the phone and everything. But I became friends with Don Owen. And what a prince of a guy. Used to give all kinds of money to amateur wrestling programs and things. Nobody ever knew he did it. He wanted it on the QT. He was a great guy. And so I used to take my son out to the matches, and we didn't really watch the matches. We would stand up by the dressing rooms and talk to Don. And of course, it's a terrible night. Nobody's here. I'm going to have to sweep up the popcorn so I can feed the kids this week. You know, and he was always kind of real cranky and nasty, but just a kind of funny, dirty old man kind of guy. And I remember my son once telling me, gee, Dad, you know, for an old guy, he sure swears a lot. And it's like, I got to tell you, son, old guys swear more than kids do. But anyway, great guy. So I got into it. Then I got to know Buddy Rose a little bit. He used to show up at Blazer games once in a while. I got to know him. I actually did an on-the-road piece with Apache Bull Ramos. He took me on the road with him, and that was a real experience to hear him get booed everywhere in Oregon, you know. And he told me, he said, you know, if this doesn't come out good, I'm coming down to that little office of yours and squeeze that pencil neck of yours until it pops. But... he liked the story.
So do they, like, turning it off and on? Like, he's going to squeeze that pencil neck of yours. The heels, they're not always, and that was the thing about Rowdy Roddy Piper, was that he could not have been more different than the guy that he portrayed on TV for a lot of us.
Some of them stay in character all the time, but most of them don't. And Buddy Rose and his partner, Ed Wiskowski, for a long time. I used to meet them for lunch once in a while and talk to them and developed a great relationship. Buddy was a great, great guy. Really a fun guy and a good athlete. People don't realize it. He was a very good athlete. A good ice skater, played hockey as a kid. Was a baseball player for a while. I saw him play softball. He was good at that. Just a really good guy. And I just got to know him. And Piper was the same way. I got to know him somehow and had his phone number. I'd call him once in a while. And he always treated me well. And that interview, I mean, that was hardcore stuff where he talked about, you know, the drugs and steroids, and contemplating suicide and being in a room where he went out and sat on the ledge for a while and contemplating jumping and just some really, you know, tearful stuff, really. And so in love with his wife, a great wife, and who took care of the kids, raised the kids while he was out on the road 350 nights a year, pretty much. Hard, hard business. People have no idea.
Did they contact you and use any of your footage for that A&E thing that they did?
No, they did not. They missed out because we had better footage than what they used.
Yeah, you had great footage of him talking about all of it.
Yeah, we did. Interview. And I think it was they were afraid we were going to charge rights fees for him or something. NBC would want to nail him for that.
One network doesn't even exist anymore. They're fine now.
Well, the big network still exists.
here's a question coming in on the fan text line. Dwight, if you can interview any living athlete or sports personality in any sports venue, one-on-one, who is it? Where's it at?
Oh, man.
You get them in the venue.
I'm missing. There's somebody that I want to interview that I was just thinking about it the other day that I haven't been able to get. I mean, I'd love to do Phil Knight again. That would just be really good. I'm not really in awe of anybody right now. I'd like to interview the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred, right now and ask him why he's being such an idiot. And I would ask him that, probably. But, you know, that's a tough question. I'll leave the studio, Dusty,
and you'll have five people. Well, you tweet it out then. I want you to tweet that out.
All right.
Now, along those ones, I heard you say, I'd ask him why he's such an idiot. We had a text that came in and said, why are you so mad on Twitter?
You know, if people only knew what a smile I have on my face when I read Twitter and when I write Twitter, I'm never mad. I'm honestly never mad. I do get frustrated with people who just don't understand what I'm trying to tell them.
Right.
And in certain cases, they don't want to hear it. You know, it's like now they're doing a teardown of the Blazers, basically.
Yeah.
But it's not complete. If you really want to do a teardown, you trade Damian Lillard because he's the only guy you have you can get something for. That's the way teams do it. They take their assets and turn them into future assets. Their current assets can become first-round picks the next two or three years. You've seen Oklahoma City do it over and over. You've seen other teams do it. That's the way you do it. So it's not really a teardown if you're going to keep the one guy. And if you have to build around that one guy, are you going to be able to get anything of magnitude? I've had people in the NBA tell me Damian Lillard to win a championship is probably not going to be the best player on a team. So you better find somebody better than him to win a championship with him. Now, people don't want to hear that around here.
Dwight Janes, I want to get one more question before we send you on the way, and we will get that on the other side of the break. I want you to think about this one, though. Does tonight's result of the NBA draft lottery, in your mind, change what the Blazers should do in the draft? Dwight Janes, we wrap it up. Dusty and Friends on the Fan.
This is a PGA Championship Week edition of Dusty and Friends.
Brought to you by Persimmon Country Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
He's trying to find me. I'm standing in the middle of life.
All right, we're with Dwight Janes. He's been kind enough to be with us. Tell us his story. I love it, man. We've been through kind of all of it. Baseball, basketball. The days, I can just imagine you taking the calls on the high school line, people telling you their scores from around the area.
Yeah, that was fun.
But as it pertains to the Blazers tonight, here are the 2022 draft lottery. They got a 37% chance of hitting the top four, and you got 29% chance of outright landing outside of the sixth spot into seventh. Do you think it changes anything where this team lands for you in their direction of what they do?
Most certainly it does. Yeah, I would say so, Dusty. I think, and I told you before the show, my opinion has always been the lottery doesn't matter. What really matters is the draft. You can have whatever pick. I think it's been, 8 or 9 years now since the number one pick has been an MVP. And these guys, MVPs now, you look back, they're coming at 14 or 41 or whatever draft pick. You just better pick the right guy. But you got a better chance of picking a better player the higher you get. Yeah. You just have to be smart enough to pick the right one. And so my guess is if they stay where they are now or move up, they will probably keep the pick. If they drop down at all, they'll probably trade the pick.
I'm with you.
I have a little problem with a whole Jeremy Grant love affair here. I don't really get that. People are talking about, we want to get to the finals. Well, he ain't going to get you to the finals, okay? He's an okay player. I guess he's a starter. He's been a starter recently, not always in his career. He's a good player. He'll defend a little bit. He seems to get hurt more often than you'd like recently. But I don't know if that's – I would almost rather take a flyer on a young guy who's showing great potential than to take a guy like him who – this is what he is. Right now is what he is. If you get that, you'll be okay, but you're not going to get a star there. You're not going to get an all-star picking him.
Well, I think as you look at him, he's great if he's your third or fourth best option on your team. He shouldn't be your number two. But if you can get him, that's a great piece for your third or fourth option, depending on your matchups and who you're playing. But your number two needs to be a heck of a lot better to win championships. And again, that's what we're seeing. Because, look, Chris Middleton is he's a very, very, very good number two, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Like, your number two has to be damn good in order to win in the NBA.
Yeah, your number two has to be a guy that some people think is better than number one. You know, that's really a lot of number twos are like that, you know? And I just think they've drafted a lot of third and fourth options, and they've traded for a few. But at some point, you want to get a number two option, or you just start all over again. You know, and I think that's always a possibility. Load yourself up with a bunch of picks and just go from there. And, I mean, people seem to accept the tanking this year. Let's see how well they accept it in the future.
You know, you've had such a long career where you've made a lot of predictions and met a lot of people throughout the way.
That's
right?
For sure, yeah.
Is there a guy that you're just like, I was right on him from day one? That you, it's like your feather in your cap, like, I saw it. I saw it early. Mine is.
Yeah, there have been a few of those guys. I mean, I thought Damian Lillard, when I saw him at Weber State, I said, you know, that's an NBA point guard. And
yeah.
Basketball guys, you know, I like some of the guys that I didn't. I'll tell you who I didn't like. Adam Morrison was a guy. I said I watched him at the Child Center with Jim Paxson one night, who was scouting, you know, for Cleveland when he worked for Cleveland, and we both agreed this guy just isn't going to make it. He can't, you know, he just can't do it. And everybody was so high on him. I had people tell me, oh, he's better than Brandon Roy. He's terrific. And blah. No, he wasn't. And I think it's easier to pick guys who aren't going to make it than to pick guys who did, right?
Yeah, right. Dwight, I really appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure being your friend for the day. And by the way, I love having a guy in the other room who knows when to turn my mic on and off, because I have a terrible time remembering to turn it back on. So kudos. I
got you, Dwight. Don't worry about it.
I knew. You did. I figured that out after the first
I tried to gauge with the people who are in the industry, are you going to do it yourself? And the 1 o'clock segment started and you didn't move your hands. I went, all right, it's me. I'm turning the mic on.
I was waiting to see if you did. That's the whole thing.
All right.
Thanks, well, Dusty. Hey, I enjoyed it.
Here's to being friends tomorrow too, huh?
I'll take it under advisement.
All right. Dwight, thank you so much. This was awesome. If you missed any of the show, you can check it out on the Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080thefan.com. Tomorrow, we've got author Joel Gunderson. He wrote the book on Boise State football. Now hosts a podcast on Oregon Ducks football. Thursday, Oregon Duck great Anthony Newman. And Friday, longtime Major League Baseball ump Dale Scott will join us.
Whoa.
We have got it locked and loaded. Dwight, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
All right, up next, primetime, Isaac and Zook, 3 to 7 right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.